Bitch, you playing the music?
Now I am. And we're talking over the music this time, baby. Live recordings.
Oh, they don't pick that up when I sing it all the time.
Welcome back to Diamond Gems.
Welcome back to Diamond Gems.
I am Jacob.
I'm Isaac.
We are your hosts.
We are.
And today, we are here to talk about...
C-tier. My bad. We don't have twin telepathy.
Our chemistry is not on par.
It's okay.
You know, we are brothers, but yeah, maybe it's that we've lived apart for too long now.
It's been like the chemistry's gone. Sir.
I know. We're independent individuals.
I'm not.
I am, I guess, you know.
Montreal.
You're independent, Isaac. Give yourself more credit. Well, we should talk about the C tier.
Okay.
C tier. Are you excited? Decent.
There's some good teams in the C tier.
Like, there was a couple good teams even in the D tier.
Yeah, like these are all postseason threats. Everybody in the C tier can make the playoffs.
100%.
And in fact, some will make the playoffs.
Yep.
I believe it's 14 teams. It's so hard to just get a grasp on these rules. It's 14 teams. This was there last year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 12 or 14?
It's 12, I think. It was 10 before. Now it's 12.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, so we'll
see. So basically, top 12 make it. So two teams in this C tier will make it into the postseason. And I would say, Isaac, I wouldn't be that surprised if any of them make it to the postseason. I have teams in mind that I think are more likely to make it to the postseason than others. But, I mean, they're all decent teams. They all have upside. They all have flaws. But they also have upside. And, I mean, we saw last year, like, the Orioles almost friggin' made the playoffs. They made a push. You know, like, just there's teams that every year surprise us. The Mariners, like, I guess they had a little more expectations going into last season, but they made the postseason. They broke a huge playoff drought making the postseason. So you never know. You never know. We are going to start with a team that whose hat I am rocking because I was able to scrounge, like I said. I was able to find an article of clothing for every tier. I had some piece of paraphernalia for at least one team in each of our tiers. And in this tier, I have a hat from the Chicago White Sox, mostly just because I really think it's a cool logo. You know, black hat, easy to rock with anything. That's really why I have it. I'm not like a White Sox fan or anything like that. You know, we did go to, at the time, US Cellular Field, now guaranteed right field, I believe. It was okay.
Neither of them are very good names. Guaranteed
no.
Right field.
Yeah, it's just a sponsored field. Isaac, how did you feel about the White Sox field?
I actually liked it. I think it's underrated in the grand scheme of things. Just because it's in Chicago and it's not Wrigley Field. It's also on the south side. But
mm-hmm.
I think it's just it feels like a classic ballpark when you walk into it. Just yeah. I kind of like the single row of seating in the outfield that just loops around. It just felt like a ballpark. There's nothing special about it, but my memory of it was decent. There's literally
good.
Nothing standing out at that.
That's what I think
stadium.
Too. It was just like good park.
It's a good park.
Fun time.
It's a comfy park. You're not going to go there and be blown away. Like if it's not a bucket list park. Like if you're a big baseball fan, you want to hit every park. Like you'll like it. But if you're like, okay, I have to pick five parks, don't pick it.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it, Isaac. Thank you. All right, let's get into the team here.
No, we should... Hold on, time out. Fuck. I'm pausing this. We should have done, while we were ranking these tiers, we should have also mentioned the ballparks. I'm sure we mentioned Oakland when we did, because Oakland is just a nightmare.
Yeah, we talked trash about them for sure. Yeah. That happened.
Anyways.
Now, we're not going to go through every ballpark. We're keeping these are condensed. We're sticking to our topic. This is our problem, Isaac. We're just ramblers. We're like ADHD type of guys. We think of something, we see a shiny object, we want to talk about it. No. We're focused.
Did you see my Mac Miller poster? You want to talk about that too while we're at it?
No, I don't. But I already knew it was there. It's been there forever. We could talk about my background completely overhauled.
I must say, that looks like Jasmine's background now.
It is. She designed everything.
Yes.
Fuck sakes, Isaac.
It's good.
The rotation for the Chicago White Sox.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right. We got Giolito. We got Lance Lynn, who is currently pitching for the United States of America in the World Baseball Classic. You got Dylan Cease, Michael Kopech, and Clevinger, who has been in some hot water recently. So I don't know if that's going to affect his season in terms of like him actually missing games or anything. I don't think so. But that's the rotation right now. Pretty solid.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure on Dylan Cease right now because I don't want to tank my trade value for him because I'm trying to flip him right now in fantasy.
He had a high walk rate.
He has a high walk rate. That's always been his concern. His showings in spring training right now, very few, have been absolutely atrocious. And so he's a guy to keep an eye on. If he's hot, this team is pretty...
If you're in Isaac's fantasy leagues, don't listen to this part.
Yes.
Erase your memories.
Yeah.
When you see a Dylan Cease trade show up in your app, make sure you just go ahead and accept that.
Yes. It's between him and Brandon Woodruff, so I mean, strikeouts or...
We'll see.
Roof.
Okay, bullpen. This was a strength of the teams over the last couple of seasons here. Unfortunately, Liam Hendricks is still battling cancer, receiving treatment for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, so he will not be a part of this team. But you still got Garrett Crochet, you got Bummer, and Kendall Graveman, who is also pitching for Team USA right now. That's a good three to kind of have, and I'm sure a couple other guys will come out of the woodworks as well along the way. And then...
Position.
Yep, move on to the position players. Behind the dish, you got Yasmani Grandel. First base, you have Andrew Vaughn. Second base, you're looking at Elvis Andrus right now. Then you got Tim Anderson playing for USA right now. Yoan Moncada playing for Cuba. I'm going to stop doing this, but yeah. That's all you'll get for WBC updates. Outfield, you got Andrew Benintendi, Eloy Jimenez, and Luis Robert
playing for Cuba.
Jr. playing for Cuba. And then your DH is looking like Gavin Sheets right now, probably. They can slug, man. This team's got some hitters.
They have some upside, too. Andrew Vaughn is still waiting a little bit. The MLB seems...
Defensive nightmare, Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah, and I'm kind of mid on him, but apparently he's got upside, so we're waiting on that to fully evolve. It's a team that actually has some very good pieces. If it works out, what are you thinking? Over under at 83.5.
Last year they won 81 games. I'm thinking over this year.
I'm thinking over too.
Honestly, like, I was extremely disappointed with their team last year. Wait, hold on. Tony La Russa is still manager, isn't he? Tony La Russa is still the manager. Actually, fuck it. I'm taking the under. As long as Tony La Russa is there, this team is a snooze fest.
In hopes of him getting fired, in hopes of him all of a sudden hitting a switch and putting some life in his soul, I'm going to go over because I think this over-under is set a little bit low at 83.5. I don't want to take advantage. And I'm hopeful because this was a very exciting core of players with a lot of personality that has been suppressed by La Russa.
They lost Jose Abreu in the offseason.
They did.
He was kind of the leader on that team.
And that's why they're hoping Andrew Vaughn steps up. It's time.
Yep. And they also, like I said, they brought in Andrew Benintendi. That's an interesting. Really... He'll help defensively, I think, though, at least.
You know what, though? Get him out of Kansas City. He showed potential once upon a time.
He had a pretty decent year last year, I think, though. Didn't he?
He once had high hopes, Jacob.
He's had some good seasons. He's not like a star. Some people talk about him like he's a star. He's not
a
star.
He was a highly rated prospect in Boston, and when he first came up, he looked really good, and then he just wasn't that guy.
For a while, like, I don't think he won a comeback player of the year award. No, he didn't. But he had a really bad season one year, and then came back and was like, it was a good bounce back for him. Last year with the Yankees and Kansas City, he batted .304, had a .772 OPS, a .120 OPS plus.
How many games? That's impressive. I did not.
126 games he played.
Oh, not bad.
He's pretty good, man. And also, he was not very good when he went to the Yankees. Well, he wasn't horrible, but he batted .320 with Kansas City, and then .254 when he went over to the Yankees over there. So, I guess he had maybe a difficult time settling in. You know, it's a terrible place to live, terrible place to play. So, that's probably why he struggled, you know.
Yeah.
We have no Yankees fans on. There's no way we have Yankees fans, especially now that Greg is not like a regular part of this podcast.
Yeah. Greg was just a Yankee. He just brought Yankees to us.
Yeah.
But
just so that they could be insulted by us.
I don't understand. Yankees fans can't be anti-Barry Bonds when they had A-Rod forever. So it's cool.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. Like I said, though, I think. Sorry, Isaac. You want to finish your thought there?
No. I said, are we going too slow?
No. It's okay. I was just going to say that as long as Tony La Russa is there, I have not enough faith in this team. I don't think he motivates them. I don't think that the guys even like him. I think that there's just some, like, ownership. Like, the ownership group is, like, drinking buddies with him. They bailed him out of his fucking DUI that he got last year or whatever it was. He needs to go. He's got to get out of there. He literally fell asleep on the bench last year. I'm not making that up. That happened. There is actual footage of him sleeping in the dugout in the middle of a game.
He fell asleep in his car, too. That's what
as long as that guy is steering the ship, I have no faith that they're not going to hit a fucking iceberg. So I'm taking the under for the Chicago White Sox.
I'm taking the over.
There you go. Balance. Isaac, walk us through this Brew Crew team who you are kind of a fan of, I think. You have been a fan of them.
Yeah, so the rotation, Corbin Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, Lauer, and Hauser. A healthy rotation, this is... For the past couple of years, we've looked at this as one of the premier rotations in the league. I think
a three-headed monster.
A three-headed monster, and Peralta could also. Yeah, I mean, sorry, that is a third.
He's one of the heads.
He's one of the three, but yeah. And then the four and five, they're still productive contributors. Their issue for the past 3-4 years has truly been in their offense. And it still looks like that. They also have the best reliever and one of the best relievers in baseball and Devin Williams. But their lineup is where we are concerned and have been concerned. And they still have yet to truly add to this offense. If you want to run us through the offense.
No, you run us through. I'm looking something up.
Okay. Catcher, William Contreras. First base, Rowdy Tellez. Second base, Abraham Toro. Shortstop, Willie Adames. I love that boy. Third base, Luis Urias. Outfield, Christian Yelich, Jesse Winker, and Tyrone Taylor. And DH, Keston Hira. And he was very disappointing.
Yeah.
This whole offense is disappointing.
It's sleepy. Just like Tony La Russa. Isaac, I have made a terrible mistake.
What? He's gone.
He's gone. He's out of there.
Like idiots.
Tony La Russa is no longer the manager of the White Sox. People, before you shit on us too much, you have to realize we do almost no research. No, that's not true. We do do some research, but I did not. Yeah, I mean, I have some.
Okay, we just
I have some notes here.
Fucking things that piss us off, and in our night, and we're pessimistic people, so I think we just assumed Tony La Russa was there because we didn't have hope for them. So.
It's true, but apparently, even his drinking buddy friend said, "Listen, Tony, it's time."
So are you going
you
go, over?
You
now?
Go sleep on your couch. Yes, I will take the over for the White Sox because
White Sox over.
New manager, by the way, Pedro Grifol.
Bitch, you told me I'm running the Brewers, and now you cut me off to go talk about your boys again? The
no,
hell?
It's over. We're done. No more White
Milwaukee
Sox.
Milwaukee Brewers, ugly-ass stadium, could be a cool atmosphere. It was much better before they took Miller Park away, and now it's something Family Field.
American Family Field.
American Family Field. The American Family playing in Miller Park in front of the Brewers. The Brewers. This is all about beer.
Yep.
Family event. Over under 86.5. They won 86 last season. Have they improved, Jacob?
No.
No, they have not improved. This is unfortunate.
I'm taking the under.
Could they be buyers? I'm taking the under as well this year. And I like Milwaukee. Pittsburgh is my NL team forever, for life. But I like Milwaukee, and I'm disappointed in them.
Yep. 86.5 wins is the over-under right now, and we're both taking the under. My reasoning for the under is their bullpen is thinner. They lost Josh Hader. They have William Contreras now as their catcher. Okay, that's fine. They had Omar Narvaez. Before, who was, like, I would say as good as William Contreras, about the same. He's kind of an underrated catcher. So that's not really, that doesn't do much for me. They got Jesse Winker. Jesse Winker hasn't really helped a team win. No offense to him, but he hasn't really been a difference maker. Christian Yelich. I loved Yelich. But, I mean, since he shattered his knee with that foul ball, he has literally just not been... He's been a shell of himself. And everyone, every year, it's like him and Bellinger. People keep saying, like, can they get back to form? I don't think so. I think it's over. I hope I'm wrong. Please prove me wrong, Christian Yelich. We do like you. But, yeah, the bullpen's thinner. The rotation is the same. And the lineup is still weak. And, you know, they traded away good players last year around the deadline. I think that they're kind of in this, like, rebuild, retool type phase. Corbin Burns wants out. So, yeah.
Brandon Woodruff is plus 30. This team's in a weird spot. They're on the fringe of contending. And are you buyers or are you sellers at this point? And I think that'll become very clear around July this season. I think it's safer to take the under. If you're optimistic, you should take the over, but I'm going under with you. Shall we move on?
I think their ceiling right now, unless they become buyers, is where the over under is set, which is 86.5.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really see a path to them winning more. Like, really, the rotation is the only thing they have going for them at this point. And Devin Williams in the bullpen. But that's one guy.
I also think with the schedule now, that it's more balanced throughout the league, that they can't steal as many wins from shitty teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 86 is a pretty tough number to get to when they have to face better teams more often. So,
all right,
I will join
there
you.
There we go. So then I guess, should we have had the White Sox ahead of the Brewers, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, again, I don't doesn't know, matter. These we're just lumping them in there. But we are kind of talking in order of teams that
are
we're most high on.
White Sox are better. Like, I have the White Sox having a better record than Milwaukee at the end of this year.
Okay. There you go. You heard it here first. All right, let's move on to the next team. We got a Midwestern team here. The Minnesota Twins. The Twinkies. Isaac. They have a good rotation too now. Sonny Gray, Pablo Lopez, who they acquired in a trade. They traded away Luis Arraez for Pablo Lopez, you know, giving up some hitting to get a little pitching. They got Tyler Mahle. Kenta Maeda is back. Joe Ryan was a pleasant surprise last year. He's still part of that rotation. And then they have a little bit of depth, too. You got Bailey Ober kind of as like a sixth starter in case someone goes down. He's been good. And then in the bullpen, a couple big arms, man. They got Joanne Duran, who is a reliever to watch this year. He is super talented. He's got really electric and nasty stuff. And then Jorge Lopez, who they got from the Orioles at the deadline last year, is going to be there full-time this season. On offense, I honestly think that they got a little bit weaker than they did last year. They got Christian Vasquez, a catcher. That's definitely an upgrade over Gary Sanchez, both, I'd say, offensively and defensively. Then you got Alex Kirilov at first base, Jorge Polanco at second base, who is kind of chronically underrated. Carlos Correa, you got Miranda as your third baseman. They upgraded, I guess. They got Joey Gallo. People thinking because the shift is gone, he's going to suddenly be able to make contact with the baseball. Don't see how that's going to work out. Byron Buxton will be great for 60 games. Max Kepler. And then they added a fourth outfielder, Michael A. Taylor. And then their DH right now is Nick Gordon. So I think, what do you make of this squad?
I think every guy in this lineup comes with question marks.
Yep.
I think there's hope.
Maybe minus Correa.
Like, this is Aaron Judge 2022, that if Aaron Judge is healthy, this is phenomenal. If these guys all click the way there's been hope set upon them once upon a time, this team could be good. Carlos Correa, we're not Carlos Correa people at all. In fact, I like to see almost every player in the league succeed and on this team succeed, and I don't want him to succeed. So, this lineup bores me. I would put them below Chicago easily too. This is worse than Milwaukee.
Really?
I think there's name value here. I don't know. Like, this is a team I could be completely wrong about as well. Like, it's just a bunch of people that we can expect decent things, but at the same time, we can expect them to go the other way. I think Pablo Lopez is a massive addition. I love Pablo Lopez, but is he the same guy out of Miami?
Doesn't have that Miami secret sauce anymore.
Yeah, there's so many question marks here. It's too many for me. The over-under is only set at 84.5. Like, how do you feel about Minnesota?
I think that the ceiling is higher than both the White Sox and then the Brewers for this team. I think that they have a higher ceiling, but I also think they have a lower floor than both of those teams.
Yeah.
I think it's a gamble either way. Like, I don't... over-under at 84.5, I could see it going, like... I could see them being like a 72-win team, or I could see them winning like 93 games.
I think you almost undervalue the White Sox a little bit, because I think they have a very high...
They just had such a bad year last year, but now that Sleepy Tony's out of there, maybe
look,
that's
their
the
lineup
biggest difference.
Has a lot of hope. That could be, honestly, that could be this year's Phillies. That, to me, has A-tier upside, but not presently. I value Minnesota upside-wise more than the Brewers, but downside-wise, D-tier, E-tier. Like, they can be good, they can be B-tier, but I think they could also be D-tier. I'm going to hit the under at 84.5. I think this team is coasting along 500.
I'll be optimistic, and just to be different, I will take the over. I don't know if it's over by enough to make the playoffs. But I think that this year, I don't know, I kind of like this Twins team. I think that Carlos returning, as much as I don't like him, I think it is important to this team that he's there.
Yeah, the only reason he returned is because he failed two physicals.
It's true. So, I mean, who knows if he'll hold up over the course of the season. Again, not wishing injury on any player ever, but, like, Byron Buxton, people every single year are like, he's a sleeper MVP pick. He literally has never played. He played 140 games once in his career, and then since then, the most he's played in, like, eight seasons is, like, 90 games. Look, like, you just... I can pull that up. But he has unfortunately just been, like... He's plagued. He gets hurt, man. And it's, like, soft tissue, like, joint. It's not the type of, like, fluke injuries necessarily that some guys that you see get hurt have had.
He did have a fluke hand injury last year.
Here's his games played. So I was a little bit wrong on a couple fronts here. But, okay, 2016, 92. 2017, 140. 2018, 28 games. 1987, half season, a 60-game season, he only played 39 games. 2021, he only played 61 games. And then 2022, last season, he played 92.
He's averaged under half the season, essentially.
Yes, since 2018. You can't bank on having him. So it's unfortunate because he is great. But also, I mean, last year, even when he was healthy, his batting average was .224. Still had an .833 OPS, though. So, I mean,
he's good in April. Say what you will. He's great in April. Everyone gets their hopes up, and then it comes collapsing down. And
dude, holy shit, though. He hit 28 tanks last year in 92 games.
Yeah, it's because he can't fucking run the bases, so he has to sell out for home runs now. Like, this is a guy a few years ago. This is one of the greatest athletes that has touched baseball. He's a phenomenal athlete. He was a tremendous center fielder. He can do everything on a field. He could be a five category
except
player.
Stay on the field.
Except he can't stay on the field, and he's aging, and people typically that have injury histories don't age very well. Like, what are we expecting from Byron anymore? And we also get excited from every year too, because we're both Byron fans. We want him to succeed. We want him to reach his potential. But that potential possibility, the cap is really just tanking because he hasn't gotten there. He's getting older. And his last season was his worst season, healthy or unhealthy. I don't know anymore. Like, I'm just waiting for a flip. I always remain slightly optimistic about him because if things come together, this is an MVP contender. But he hasn't even come close to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I go under, you go over, and we'll forget, we'll never talk about Byron again because it's just going to lead to sadness and frustration.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Isaac. So, it comes down to these two teams. The over-under. Well, really, it comes down, we can talk about this now. We have three teams here that were on the fence about where to rank them. Basically, it's the Mariners, the Rays, and the Guardians. Now, if we're talking about which team I actually like the most of these three, I'm taking the Mariners. But currently I have the Guardians in the B tier, with the Mariners being probably the best team in the C tier. It's really tricky. These next three are so complicated. This is like one of those things I want to make the decision like while we're talking about it.
Yeah, okay. So my thing, I want to enter a fourth party into the mix because I like the Mariners. I have four teams that contend for these four spots. It's between B and C, and it's the Mariners still, I guess. Tampa Bay Rays, Cleveland Guardians, but also St. Louis Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, to me, it was a Cinderella story last year. It somewhat felt like, with a few exceptions, the San Francisco Giants, but they had a few big stars as well into that mix. It's a veteran team. This is a tough one, Jacob.
I think we can go wrong either way. Like, there's no winning with putting these four teams. and trying to figure it out.
You know what? Let's keep it as is then, as you have it currently.
Okay. So then the question is, I mean, again, it doesn't matter. They're all, we're just lumping them into one tier here. But between the Rays and the Mariners, who do you think is the better team?
I think the Mariners are a better team.
I agree. So let's talk about the Tampa Bay Rays then. And this is one of the teams that I don't have the depth chart pulled up, so we're just going to run through it right now. Their rotation has kind of taken a hit. Tyler Glasnow has what I believe is an oblique strain and is set to miss some time. He was supposed to be back from Tommy John, so super unfortunate. Obviously, he's like one of the better pitchers in baseball when he's around. Shane Boz, who is the rookie who was dealing last year, had to get shut down and ended up needing Tommy John. He'll miss this season. So those are two big arms in the rotation that are gone from last year, which is part of the reason I'm fading them. Also, the Yankees and the Blue Jays both objectively got even incrementally better than last season. I still don't think the Yankees are going to hit the same win total as last year, but they're like the same team plus like Carlos Rodon. So divisionally, you know, it's always just a challenge for the Rays. Again, the expanded schedule is going to help them, I think. But the rotation as it stands is Shane McClanahan, who is definitely a Cy Young contender. Then you got Drew Rasmussen, who's been good. Jeffrey Springs, Zach Eflin, and Yonny Chirinos. Then they also have like Luis Patino and Josh Fleming are kind of like depth guys for them.
I think Patino might crack the rotation.
Over Chirinos, maybe. Yeah, I think Chirinos spent some time in the pen last year. But still like a pretty solid rotation. But definitely not like the same amount of firepower that you have if you have Glasnow and Boz in that. Their bullpen is still great. They got Pete Fairbanks, Jason Adam, who was a breakout star last year in the bullpen. Jalen Beeks. Who else they got here? I mean, they're just guys. They just have guys, you know? Colin Pache. Just guys that, like, are not household names at all, but get the job done.
Yeah.
Behind the dish, you got switch hitting Francisco Mejia, and you also have Christian Bethencourt. At first base, you're looking at they actually have a bunch of guys that can play first base. I mean, Yandy Diaz, Harold Ramirez, Isaac Paredes. Those are some names there. Second base, you got Brandon Lau or Lowe. I can never remember which
it's
one it
Lau.
Is.
It's Lau. Nate Lowe and Brandon Lau.
Okay, got it. Taylor Walls. Even Vidal Brujan is like a prospect for them who played a little bit last year.
I guess they're the team that fields everybody.
Exactly. That's this. It's hard to just like name. They never have just like one established guy. And also like,
let's talk about their two established guys. Not established. The one established guy.
And Brandon?
The one established guy. I mean, Brandon Lau somewhat. But Randy Arozarena is an established guy, in my opinion, at this point.
Yeah, this is the outfield.
Oh, we're talking about outfield still.
And Isaac, there's also Wander Franco.
He's not established.
That's true.
This is the thing. This team is the most grindy team in all of baseball. This team does not look good on paper ever. They have a few guys here and there, but they just grind wins out. This is what they've always done. This is what they'll continue to do. And who knows, but on paper, from the beginning of the season, they just don't look as good as a few teams.
Wander I think Franco, they look good, but Wander I think Franco, it's because we're familiar with them.
Wander Franco needs to... No, Wander Franco needs to take a massive step forward. He has not looked good in his two seasons. He has extremely high contact rates. He should be stealing more bases, and he has not developed the power at all. And that's what he needs to do. Because as soon as he does that, this guy has perennial all-star potential. He had potential Hall of Fame attributes, and he still does. It's just, it needs to come together this season.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does come together this season, not only are we looking at an MVP caliber team, but we're looking at, MVP caliber player, we're also looking at a B to A tier team. Now, Wander has a lot of, like, he has to grow still. It's, and that's why I'm like, I'm slightly fading them too, because I don't think he's there yet.
Okay. I think that they have, they got pieces, and I've seen these guys perform. They work well together. Like, even Harold Ramirez, people are sleeping on him. He was good last year, man. I know I picked him up, like, at the end of the fantasy season. He was cooking at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They don't have, like, these crazy household names. They're grinders. Yeah. These are guys with potential. These are guys that could go be really good. And if they utilize them well, they're going to be a very successful team. And that's mm-hmm. what this franchise does. They work within a tight budget, and they put players on the field, and the way they go.
All right. Well, Isaac, the over-under is set at 89.5. Last year, they won 86 games. Where do you think they end up this season?
Around the same. Maybe 88 even. It's close. Could be anywhere from 84 to 88, in my opinion, but I think it's under the 89.5.
I am also going to take the under. This is kind of like very different. Don't get me wrong, but I'm still going to, you can still compare apples to oranges as much as people say that you can't. I kind of think of them in the same way that I think of the Giants, in that they outperformed expectations year after year. Eventually, that's going to stop happening, right? Maybe not with the Rays, though, because of the way that they are able to develop their own guys and find these guys and just put it all together and make it work. That's kind of been their bread and butter. But at the same time, like, I just don't think that year over year you can do that consistently without bringing people in. And they didn't bring anybody in, you know? It's just like they just kept their guys. So I don't see really any reason to see why this team would go over what they did last year. And so for that reason, I'm also like taking the under. Okay. Last team in this tier, Isaac. Let's talk about them. I think that this is the highest upside team in this tier for sure. But they also still have a lot of question marks. And when you have a lot of question marks, I cannot put you in top 10 teams in the MLB, because as we will see in the top 10, yes, those teams have some questions, I guess, but not to the same extent for me. Rotation is pretty solid now.
We're talking about Seattle Mariners.
Seattle Mariners, yes, yeah, sorry. Luis Castillo is their guy now, and that's a good one. He's really nasty. Then you got Robbie Ray, who obviously won a Cy Young in 2021. Logan Gilbert, who is kind of a rising, emerging, really good pitcher. George Kirby, who is kind of fits that build as well. Marco Gonzalez is like the perfect definition of like what you want in a five guy. Just someone that will give you like, you know, like a round of four ERA and just a shit ton of innings. Like,
just eat innings.
Yeah. Perfect five spot. Now there's questions with the heart of this rotation. I think on the front end and the back end, like, you know what you're going to get probably with Marco Gonzalez. And to the same extent, I think you kind of know what you're going to get with Luis Castillo.
We've seen it in the past. I mean, he's grown a lot, but we have seen some inconsistencies, tipping pitches and him losing stuff for a little bit.
I think he took a step forward next year, though, that he's not going to lose.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I would feel secure having him in my rotation if I was running.
Robbie Ray was not nearly at his Cy Young level last year. And, I mean, he's just getting older. What is he, like 34 now?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit concerned about him. He's 31 right now.
Yeah.
But last year he had a 3.71 ERA. The thing that's great about him, though, is he still gives you innings. He pitched 189 innings and got 212 strikeouts last year.
I think last year, we were even going into the season, we didn't want to give him, like, as Blue Jays fans, we didn't want to give him a massive contract. We wanted him, of course, but he outshined his own potential in that season. And I think that's what we've seen. I think we've seen him come back to where he kind of fits. And I do think he can remain in that spot, but I don't, I question his upside. And well, he's a mixed bag. Like, his whole career has been mixed. It's if you have the right pitching coach, he kind of shines. If he doesn't have the right support, he doesn't shine. That walk rate will go through the roof. There's always question marks with Robbie Ray in his consistency. It can go either way, but I think where he is right now is probably a comfortable position in number three.
His only All-Star appearance was in 2017. Obviously, he got fucking jibbed last year because he won, or in 2021 because he won the Cy Young, wasn't an All-Star. That was a huge snub, obviously. But from 2018 to 2020, Isaac, he had a 4.53 ERA, a 96 ERA plus, and his FIP was 4.62.
He also had an insane walk rate. He could not hit the strike zone.
Let's see, what was that?
In 2020.
His walk rate was 5.1.
Yeah, so he came in 2020 with nothing going for him whatsoever. He came to Toronto during that shortened season, and I remember, I guess, Pete Walker. I don't always want to give, like, the coaches more credit than the players, because it's the players at the end of the day. But there were some massive transformations in Robbie Ray, in his delivery, his approach to the game, his pitch selection, and he looked a lot better, and it built a lot of hope for 2021. And then he reached his potential that he once had in Arizona. There was a point in time where we thought this guy was going to be a tremendous pitcher, and it took him a long time, took him a lot of backward steps to get there in 2021. So this is still a guy with a very high ceiling, but a very low floor.
Yep. Well put, Isaac. Okay, let's move to the bullpen, because this is an area of strength as well. Andrés Muñoz. Dude, I wouldn't say a household name at this point. Watch him. Absolutely electric stuff, like, consistently throws like 101, has a wipeout slider. He's really, really good. The type of guy you want at the back end of your bullpen. And then you got like Sewald, Diego Castillo, and Matt Brash, I like a lot. And, you know, even like other guys like Chris Flexen is listed as in their bullpen. He was like a decent starter for them at one point. So their bullpen is deep. It's very good. Yeah, I like their bullpen. And then you go behind the plate here. You got, what's his nickname? Big Baby, Cal Raleigh. Obviously, we saw him kill our spirits as Blue Jay fans last postseason. First base, you got Ty France. Second base, you've got Colton Wong, who came from the Brewers. You had another guy that the Brewers lost. Third base, Eugenio Suarez. Shortstop, J.P. Crawford, who is really just a defensive star and not much else. Left field, they picked up A.J. Pollock. Jared Kelenic is out there as well. On fire in spring. He's made some big steps in terms of his plate approach and his stance, and is potentially going to maybe reach that level of stardom that people expected for him this year.
Have given up on. He has been completely abandoned and given up on. And I must say, I was one of them. He was the worst hitter in baseball since he's come up.
He had a historic, it was actually like a historic failure. Like, there's not many people who have got the amount of opportunities that he had and done so little with them. So that's obviously a huge question mark, but if he can be, because he was like, he came up kind of around the same time as Julio, and it was like, he came up, they were kind of like a 1A, 1B.
Didn't he? It was more along the Wander time. Because he came up before a year, he was supposed to be a year ahead of Julio.
No, no, but like within their franchise, like those were their two guys.
Yeah. You know, Kelenic was slightly above him, I think, too. I think he was. They had higher hopes at that point. And then I think Julio's prospect rose a lot throughout the campaign. And then they brought Kelenic up. They're at. And then they were like, uh-oh, Julio is, hopefully he will shine.
Mm-hmm. But then, okay, then they also have, in right field, they acquired Teoscar Hernandez from the Blue Jays. That came at the expense of Eric Swanson from their bullpen, who was a good arm for them last year. That's how they shape up. I think overall quite solid, but again, this is like they have a lot of questions. Like I still have questions about Ty France. I've never been a huge fan of his, but I mean he's been successful. He kind of hits for average, and you know singles, doubles can go yard every now and then. Colton Wong, like, okay, he's just kind of there. Crawford doesn't give you much offensively, and then the outfield, like outside of Julio and Teo, it's like kind of question marks. So
I think the thing is, can Julio replicate what he did last year? And I think there's a serious conversation. I think he could be in the MVP conversation this season. He got he was seventh in voting last year.
Yep. One rookie of the year.
One rookie of the year. Easy pick last year, must say. I think if they can build around Julio, this team is one of those teams that actually has like a bright looking future too. And they still might be 1 or 2 years, but I do think the upside on this team is significant. They should become buyers. And if they do become buyers, they do have pieces that they could possibly flip. And yeah, so I do have high hopes. And the fact that they were buyers in the offseason with Teo.
Yep.
I'm in on this team.
I like the energy also in Seattle surrounding this team. If you watch a Seattle game right now, they're drawing some crowds. People are up on their feet. It's a good vibe in Seattle right now. And, you know, they're thirsty. They're hungry. They want more playoffs. They have been so starved of it. And, this team, I think, has what it takes to do it. And I also think, like, if this team is clicking, like, they're a World Series contender. Like, if all of the things that they want to go right are going right for them, I think that they can legitimately contend for a World Series. Because, you know, teams get hot in the postseason. I think they have what it takes to do that. But there's just too many question marks for me to feel confident making them a top 10 team.
Now, I think they've been wronged slightly by their over-under. Because have they taken a step back from last season? I don't think so.
No.
And last year, they had 90 wins. This year, their over-under is set at 86.5. For me, this is an easy decision for me, and I really hope they sail past it, because I think they will hover around where they did last season again, maybe one less win. But I'm going over. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm taking the over as well. I think 86.5 is too low. I think that they're going to make the playoffs, but I think that they're going to make the playoffs with, like, you know, like 90 wins or something. So
yeah, I think they'll be similar to last year.
Yeah. 89, 90. I don't see them as, I think they're like stronger than they were last year, but you never know, like injuries can happen and stuff like that. I'm not sure they really have like a ton of positional depth. So
yeah,
that's where I'd kind of worry about them, but again, high upside, and I'll take the over as well. So that's, I guess, do you have any final thoughts, or should we wrap this up?
You know what? We've been very friendly to a team that completely embarrassed the Blue Jays last year.
Yeah.
That's a moment. I was watching by MLB the top 100 moments of the year, and it was like number 5, their comeback in the ALDS.
It was painful. It was painful for George Springer and Bo Bichette. and also fans everywhere.
The 7-1, was it the 7-run lead or 8-run? I don't even, it's trauma, it's just traumatic. I don't know.
I tried to block it out of my memory.
Yeah. Horrifying shit. Huh, could happen again.
That's all for us. Thank you for listening to our C tier. I feel like if we're going to get disagreements, this is where it's coming from. I've been leaving polls. Check it out. Answer if you think that we got it right or wrong. And be sure to like, subscribe, leave a kind review wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Diamond Gems Podcast and at Shaped by Sports. Visit our website, shapedbysports.com, and follow us on YouTube at Shaped by Sports. Thank you.